flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Puck Car, Scott Anderson, 97.1 Ticket. Feedback coming in here on the Alex Bregman discussion. And there's a lot of theories out there as to what the hell's going on. From an unnamed texter, Boris turned down a big offer, writes this person. And I'm assuming he's talking about from the Astros. He told him he could get more, and now more isn't an option, and Boris is embarrassed. Is this possible? Yes. Is it likely? Might be.
Well, there's an article from MLBTradeRumors.com that talks about Bregman. It came out this morning, and it said that the reports today that Bregman has received offers of 5 years or longer from at least three teams this offseason, including the Astros. It doesn't say who the other teams would be. But, you know, if the Tigers and Red Sox are in the running, a lot of people think the Red Sox wouldn't be in it for a longer term, that they want a shorter term deal done. Are the Tigers one of the teams that offered a longer term deal? And if they see that the Astros offered 156, are the Tigers going beyond the 156 to try to get Bregman done? Which would seem to be logical, but how much past that, or are they not? Are they just, you know, we'll give you a higher average, but we're not going to go that much money. We'll go 5 years and 150. You know, which is obviously less than the 156, but it's also a year less.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a possible deal that's on the table?
You can get shorter, if you can get him to agree to it, some more team-friendly contracts, always better. I don't blame Bregman for not wanting to come to Detroit. He'll only have 6 home runs at Comerica Park. Houston, he'd have 14 or 15 just for home games. If Bregman were to sign a short-term prove-it deal, or a deal with opt-outs, then I feel like he'd obviously want to go to a smaller hitter's park to try and inflate his numbers. Comerica's not that place. That's true.
Well, it's not that place in terms of hitting. You know, if you think you're going to hit 40 home runs at Comerica Park, you're not, unless you're a monster slugger. Like, Aaron Judge doesn't care where he plays. He's going to hit the home runs. You know, those guys have that kind of power. Bregman's not that kind of guy. Bregman's a guy who's going to hit, you know, 25 to 30 home runs, typically.
But this person's point is, if it's on a one-year prove-it deal, why Detroit? You wouldn't want to do it in Detroit.
You wouldn't, for a one-year prove-it, no, you wouldn't want it. He's going to want security if he's going to come to Detroit, right? I agree with that. I totally agree with that. But I think he's also, I think the ballpark at Comerica Park, the dimensions get overplayed, I think, for people that complain about it as much as they do. You may not hit as many homers, but you're going to hit more doubles. You're going to hit the ball in the gap. You might hit triples. And it doesn't stop you from being a hitter and hitting base hits, because that counts anywhere. Or how about this? Just draw walks and get on base. You know, it's not so punitive. I know people want it to be. They've changed the dimensions a couple of times now, and it's more hitter friendly. I mean, when you see other teams come in and they just jack the ball out of the park, you ask yourself, why can't the Tigers do that on a more consistent basis? I don't think it's that punitive. It does make a difference for sure. But is it going to make a difference in somebody who is averaging, you know, 25 home runs the last season? Are they going to come to Comerica Park and play for the Tigers and half your games are there? So now they're only going to hit 18 home runs?
Well, if you're on a one-year prove-it deal, I can see why the guy made that point. It's valid.
He doesn't want a one-year prove-it deal.
What's that? Oh, he doesn't want it.
Yeah,
I'm kind of hoping he gets locked into that he just doesn't have a lot of options. And so he says, rather than sign the embarrassing deal of getting less than what Houston offered, I'll sign a one-year prove-it deal. But again, why would that be Detroit? Unless Detroit's the only team willing to do it. And I think on a one-year prove-it deal, there might be multiple teams to do it. I mean, it is curious that nobody has offered him more than what Houston offered.
Well, we don't know that.
We don't, but we can assume that?
Mm.
Well, why wouldn't he take that deal?
Because if Boris promised him 200 and the next best deal out of 156 ends up being like 160, that's still a big gap. And he, as the agent, is trying to save face. He's known as a super agent, gets the top dollar for his clients. And he's run into a little bit of a roadblock here.
I guess
there's interest, if there's multiple five-year offers. I guess I would think the basement is 156.
The clock is ticking, and he doesn't have a deal. And I could see how that would be. At some point, you got to do something. But
you still have a close to almost a month before you have to report for spring training. You've got it. It is literally a month before the first spring training game takes place. You've got some time yet. I mean, I'd like to see it get done this afternoon. Coming to the Tigers. And if you're not, just so we know that there's closure on that, then go. What are the Tigers going to pivot now? There's reports the Tigers are interested in some relief arms, some bullpen arms. Guys can close. And that they're waiting to see what happens with the Bregman thing to see if they've got money to go elsewhere, pivot if they have to. What's up with Jack Flaherty? You know, Jack Flaherty hasn't signed a deal yet, which is kind of crazy to think after the year he had. But was he sold a bill of goods? You know, he'd be another 1 year deal. Can he get Jack Flaherty done on a 1 year deal
to trade him at the trade deadline and get better again?
Yeah,
go get a catcher of the future and a current day middle infielder and get better. That's the formula. Okay, so it's funny. Yesterday, Ken, you saw this video yesterday of the Titans president.
I read the quote.
Okay.
Yeah.
It came from Chad Brinker, who is the president of the Tennessee Titans, holder of the first pick in the NFL draft. And Kang read this quote, and it touched a nerve with you.
I was triggered.
Yeah. And it's because of a term that is used around the draft that is an irritating cliche.
Mm-hmm.
But the draft and draft coverage is filled with cliches.
Of course it is. Every talking head wants to sell and oversell what the players are or mm-hmm. what they might be.
And it got us to talking in the office about the most irritating draft cliches. We actually thought about doing a draft of draft cliches. But we thought that would get a little confusing, so we're just going to bring up and talk about the most irritating. Is this the most irritating one for you? Is the pick in at 1-1?
Yeah, for me. This is my number one pick, without a doubt.
Okay.
It is the term generational talent. You cannot say generational talent every year and think that's it's not generational if you say it every year.
Right.
That's literally not generational. That's every year is what it is.
Every year there's generational talent available.
Unless someone can throw a 50-yard pass with their butt cheeks, I'm at this point, I don't even think anything's generational anymore.
So the quote from Brinker was, we won't pass on generational talent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't say.
Okay. So if you had to take that for what it's worth, or take it as the gospel, I should say, who's the player he's talking about?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, that's what people are trying to do now, Gator, right? They're trying to. So they're like, oh, who's generational?
It's not Shedeur Sanders. It's not Cam Ward. To me, that can only be Travis Hunter, because of what
He would qualify.
Yeah, because nobody's done what Travis Hunter has done.
It's interesting because what we're discovering, and this is pointed out, let me make sure I give credit where credit is due. Big D Dog and FBG25 on Twitch both made great points. Generational talent is available annually.
Exactly. Mine's available, apparently.
My pet peeve about the draft is the same as it is about just the NFL. When the word elite comes up, and it comes up all the time in the draft, this guy's got elite foot speed, this guy's got elite athleticism, he's got elite accuracy or arm talent. elite bothers the hell out of me because I don't think people understand what the word elite means. Elite means like that top 1% or 2% or 3%. That's elite.
It's kind of funny because it's very similar to Kang's. And I guess one of mine is, and I almost guarantee it's going to happen this year. And it happens every year with draft coverage. Is people start saying, this quarterback class is special. Right now, it's not being said.
Not yet.
No. How much you want to bet by the time we get to the draft, we're going to be talking about how this quarterback class is special. And it leads to another one of my cliches. And that is raving about a pro day throw.
What? Who does that?
Did you see that? He was rolling to his left.
And he threw it back to his right
61 yards.
I'm sorry if Zach Wilson did that, and then you're triggered by it, Doug.
That's on you, Doug. But that's the throw everyone's forced to do at the end of their workout now.
Yeah.
Right? That's the...
How good does it look?
This is how we top it off. This is how we end it.
So did you see the unbelievable throw that he made that a bunch of guys made last year, too?
He can do it as well.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know what? I think he's generational talent.
There it is.
What is the draft cliche? Because we're entering the season that irritates you the most. 248-539-9797. I've got an entire chart of these things.
I've got another one ready to go. Got another one loaded up in the chamber.
One that's absolutely, every time I hear it, I roll my eyes because all it is an opinion, but it's such a damning analysis. We will get to that today at 12:18, plus yours. Most irritating draft cliches. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, they are Lions fans all year long at UMCU, the official credit union of the Detroit Lions. What an epic season. Not only did the Lions clinch back-to-back NFC North championships, but Jahmyr Gibbs also shattered the record for most touchdowns in a single season. And to celebrate, UMCU has a great offer for you. Right now, earn 4% on CDs. That's right. Secure your funds and watch your savings grow with confidence. The way your confidence grew in this team all season long, the way your confidence is still stable for what this team can be, will they bounce back and be great again next year? The way your confidence is in Jahmyr Gibbs being one of the best in the league. Yep, you can feel that way about your money. Celebrate the Detroit Lions with 4% on CDs at UMCU, and you only need $1,000 to get started. This promotion is available for a limited time, so join the winning team today. I did. It's quick and it's easy. Visit umcu.org. That's umcu.org. Some restrictions do apply. I have to admit, Gator, we're bringing up a topic and we are probably guilty of all this crap. Draft cliches.
Well, we don't talk about the draft.
You know what? Talking about the draft is so 2022. 2022. These are draft cliches that drive you nuts. Here's one. Well, the trade chart says.
Oh. Draft value chart, huh?
Who decided that this chart was like from the book of Exodus brought down from the mountaintop on stone tablets that we have to follow the trade chart? What made this trade chart the thing that everybody follows?
I don't know. Why do people follow war?
Well, I think it's the same thing.
It's analytics. It's all.
You are assigning numbers to something to remove the responsibility from you and your opinion. And just say, well, the chart says. I think that's what the chart has turned into is you're not responsible for it. We made the deal because the chart said it was okay.
I don't have any issue with the chart, but I understand what you're saying because the chart is brought up all the time. We bring it up all the time.
I know, and that's why I said we do this too.
But I enjoy it. It's just a guideline. And then it's something to say that, oh my God, they way undervalued this. And then so it allows us to be critical, or it allows us to be praising of the general manager. If they go, wow, they got a ton of value on that. Look at that.
Look at what the chart says.
Yep. Yeah, how about this one. I like this guy. He's a real sleeper, or he's under the radar. Like, you think he's under the radar? You don't think any of these guys have done their homework?
Yeah.
And found this guy. I mean, if you want to say he's a sleeper, like when they got Giovanni Manu, mm-hmm. You know, everybody's like, who the hell is that? Right. Except the Lions wouldn't have taken him when they took him unless they didn't think that other teams were ready to take him.
Which leads to
how much of a sleeper is he?
Which leads to something else. That's a reach. Right. I mean, it's the team, you know who didn't think it was the reach? The team that took him. They don't think it's a reach. You know what this all is? This is my opinion matters more than that team's opinion. So I can call it a reach. I've always tried to be very careful with the, well, to me, this feels like a reach, right? This feels like a reach. But the team that made the pick doesn't think it's a reach.
Doug, so you'll probably hate this. Like, how about when the guy goes on the air and says, I guaranteed he would have been there at blank.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes. Guys, I guarantee you he would have been there at 22.
Oh, you can guarantee it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because every year we base our opinions, and we do it too, okay?
One of us will utter that phrase.
I guarantee you would have been here.
Yeah. We'll say
it. I don't think Doug would. Doug hates that phrase.
Yeah, and I also hate that, and we do it. We do it. We do it. We're guilty. We way overvalue the mock draft. Just because a player doesn't show up in somebody in Mel's first round or McShay's first round or Prisco's first round, Gil Brandt's first round, and then we think, well, I guarantee he would have been there in the second round.
I'm going to defend us on that.
Okay.
I don't think we overvalue it. I think we just look at it. We use it as guidelines and say, okay, well, I've seen this name appear in first round.
Well, when we draw conclusions that someone's a reach because of but the one thing we've always said this about the way we deal with mock drafts is it's an exercise in scenarios. Mm-hmm. If this scenario plays itself out, what would you do? Because basically no two mock drafts are alike. And so how would you handle it? And I would think to a degree teams do this. Okay, if this scenario plays itself out, we're sitting here at 8. Here are all the possible scenarios, including which teams might want to trade up and which players we might want to trade up for. You should go into a draft, one would think, prepared for all scenarios, and which means now. It's impossible to nail a mock draft. It's impossible to have it perfect. It would be fascinating to take if everybody had to submit their draft board to like the league independently, and then the league could actually come up with, based upon the draft board, this is how it should go. This is how the draft should go. Because if the team that has picking first says, this is the player we value the most, we know the team that's picking second, who the player they value the most would be on the board. Then keep doing it all the way on down, and you could actually come up with a somewhat accurate mock draft.
How about this one? We could see a run on offensive linemen or a run on blank as it comes up because two of the last three picks have been defensive backs. We're going to see a run at defensive backs now. There's that. And there's one that I think it's a little funny, even though this is something that the Lions believe in wholeheartedly, as they should, but I think every team believes in this wholeheartedly. But the Lions, because we're close to it, they make it their own, and we're like, yep, this guy loves football. I would assume if you're playing in the National Football League, if you've sacrificed the 3 to 6 years you're playing in college to get to this level, that you love the sport of football.
There's a good chance.
I think there are probably very few players, a small percentage of players, that don't love football.
Valid.
But this guy loves football more than this guy, because that guy loves football. I mean, they both love football. Well, everybody loves football.
You can't take blank here. You can't take a linebacker.
You can't. Well, the hard and fast rules. Can't take a running back here.
All right. Feedback coming in. The most overused phrase these days that drives me nuts. He's one of one. I hear it so often. Not everybody can be one of one. My Uncle Buck actually completed the game-winning pass in the Ohio 1976 Division I High School Championship with his butt cheeks after both hands were broken the week prior. #generational talent.
Nice job.
Josh and Warren, arm talent. WTF does that even mean?
Got arm talent.
I never heard of it pre-COVID. It's the most brain-dead analyst comment.
Well, we had it with the Stafford stuff. Stafford. When that whole thing began, it was the Trent Dilfer.
Arm talent.
Yeah, the nonstop tweets about what he had saw, what he had seen. And arm talent was part of it. What is it? Great question.
JR in Oxford. He's got a high motor. Ugh. Ha, 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 ha. My biggest draft pet peeve is when player comparisons are made that make no sense. Like, for instance, every white wide receiver is just like Cooper Kupp.
Yep. Yep.
Robert on a cell. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Robert.
Love the show, guys. This is a very fun Friday topic. I have two, if I may.
All right.
Take the top off to describe a speedy wide receiver that can get down the field.
Takes the top off the defense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that started like 3 or 4 years ago, and it just is preposterous. And the other one, offensive related, is, and this is another one, catch radius.
Yeah.
Like that. I feel like that started well after Calvin Johnson, well after Randy Moss, maybe within the last, I don't know, 5 years.
It's a Calvin one. I do remember with Calvin. I don't know if it was for Calvin's draft, but when Calvin was playing, they would talk about his catch radius.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, wait, well, this guy's arms are 2 inches longer and his finger is, you know, a half inch longer. It's like, it's just all these, but that's fantastic show, guys. Love it.
Appreciate the phone call. 248-539-9797. More of your least favorite draft cliches. Also, another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That coming up at 12:35 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right. Does Mel Kiper count as a cliche? Kind of, yes. Chugging a hot tub, this guy's a ball hawk because nobody else goes after the ball. Draft cliche I hate. He has all the intangibles. That's from an unnamed texter.
Which is a subtle way of saying he doesn't have a ton of talent, but he thinks, he knows the game.
Here's one. He sees the field well. I guess that matters if everyone else is blindfolded. That's from an unnamed texter. Here's one. Hip swivel. It's the worst.
That's during the defensive back drills. We hear a lot of that.
Yeah. I hate the phrase he flies around. Nick in Rochester, cliches I hate are, he's a gamer. Or, now this guy's a football player.
Why do I picture John Gruden saying it when it mentioned it?
I think this was a bad idea because
this guy's a football player. He really knows what he's doing out there. He gets out there and, you know, he gives everything he's got, 110%. That's the kind of guy I like, man. Got to get this guy in my team.
Do one where he says, this guy looks like a pediatrician.
This guy really looks like he knows how to work that mallet on the knee to test a reflex, man. I mean, he really gets the kid to kick that leg out. Outstanding. He works a tongue depressor like nobody I ever seen. Can clean the ears out, check the ears without even causing any pain, man. This is a guy that you want on your team.
And you want checking your kid.
He's a football player. Yeah. Well, we're drafting him. So there's a bunch of them up, hopefully.
Sure, around. So. That's kind of the pool of all the guys we're looking at.
Look, when I want a chef, I want a guy that's got a little bit of a belly, okay? And you tell me this guy doesn't have the gut to tell me he knows how to eat. He knows how to eat good, okay? I'm going to get food from him.
Me and Kenny were looking him up back here, and Kenny brought up to my attention, what about the guy, he plays in a phone booth? What's that mean? Because we're playing on a football field.
Right.
And
what's going to happen when you unleash him in the rest of the wild? Yeah.
You think someone like Doug's kids are going, what's a phone booth?
You know what's I imagine it's hard to catch a football if you're in a phone booth.
But if you ever find that your team is playing an actual game in a phone booth, you're all set.
From Kansas, Clark Kent. Perfect.
Are you ready?
Am I?
Let's talk some food. Are you ready, my friend?
I am.
Okay. Apparently, this is the first limited time menu innovation of the year at Taco Bell.
Here we go.
Yep. Kicking off 2025, they are debuting the Cheesy Dipping Burrito. Fans can now enjoy this craveable new menu item at participating locations nationwide for $4.99. Each order features two mini burritos filled with grilled marinated steak or cantina slow roasted chicken paired with their choice of one of three dipping sauces.
Okay.
Creamy chipotle, nacho cheese, or reduced fat sour cream. Gator, the cheesy dipping burrito. Are you going to eat that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Gator, are you going to eat that before 4 p.m.?
It's a strong possibility. Is it out already?
I believe it is, yes.
Well, do I need to have the app?
I don't think so.
All right. Then it's a strong possibility.
Kang, you going to eat this?
Man, I'm a dipper. You dip, I dip, man. You had me at dip. And plus, I love Taco Bell, so I'm in.
Which dipping sauce did you gravitate towards first?
In what food are we talking here?
The cheesy dipping burrito.
You go with the nacho cheese.
Creamy chipotle, the nacho cheese, the reduced fat sour cream.
Nacho cheese.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doug, you like fake cheese too, right?
No. Can't stand it.
I could see you going with a chicken one, right?
Oh, yeah.
I could. I mean, I'm not going to do this ever.
Sauce?
I'm not going to do this ever, but I would get the
reduced fat sour cream.
Chicken and the reduced fat sour cream. Yeah.
You know, Doug.
You can't tell the difference between reduced fat sour cream and regular sour cream.
I kind of agree with you on that. Usually you can on stuff, but I think sour cream, you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Next up, this from today's Detroit News, or this week from the Detroit News, Griffin Claw Brewing in Clawson is pairing with Detroit's Dutch Girl Donuts. Dutch Wagon Stout, according to the story, is made with chocolate glazed donuts from Dutch Girl Donuts on Woodward in Detroit, plus coffee and creamy cocoa. It's a hearty 8% alcohol by volume. Limited edition beer is only available at Off the Wagon on Crookston Clawson. Described in the story as not too heavy, not too sweet, a smooth finish that lingers on your tongue will keep you coming back for another sip. Gator, the Griffin Claw Dutch Wagon Stout. Are you going to eat that?
Yeah, I try this. I don't mind a stout once in a while. You know, it's a solid beer. It's not a long haul beer for me at all, you know, but I do like a stout. And I remember years ago, my brother and I went to the Berkeley Front back when it was open, many, like 30 years ago or something like that. And they had a chout, which was a chocolate stout, which was effectively, they took some chocolate sauce and put it on the inside of the glass and then poured a stout in there, and it was delicious. I'd try this. This sounds like it's really good. The 8% alcohol, I'm not a big fan of, but the idea of having a chocolate flavored stout with some coffee elements to it, I'm all about it. I'd try it.
Can you?
Yeah, this is a one thing though. Like, you don't have more than one. It's not long haul. It's definitely just a order one.
Yeah, I don't even want to know if I want a pint. I mean, give me if you get a half pint of it, but I'd order a pint of it. Yeah,
I agree.
On a number of occasions, I have seen a stout described this way, and it has piqued my interest. And every single one of those occasions, I have been disappointed. But I keep trying them.
Keep trying.
Because it sounds like if somebody hits the right combination for my personal palate, I'll love it. So I would try this with a very low expectation.
Okay.
Gator, next up. This is an interesting mashup. General Mills. Make cereals?
Yeah.
Familiar. They're pairing with Totino's.
Okay. So like pizza roll type stuff?
Yep. In a press release shared with People magazine, the company's revealed that they will have a limited edition breakfast item that will pair the savory flavor of Totino's pizza rolls with the sweetness and cereal shape of Cinnamon Toast Crunch to create a match made in mashup heaven full of bold flavors. Cinnamon Toast Crunch mashed up with a Totino's pizza roll flavor. Gator?
This is cereal?
Cereal.
This is a cereal.
So you pour milk on this?
Yeah.
I'm out. No, I can't do it. And I was so intrigued. I'm like, is it a pizza roll that has like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch exterior? Is that it? Because I would try one just to try it, but that's not it. You're talking cereal. I don't want
I gotta stop. I'm not sure it's a cereal. In the story, it never says a cereal. It never says a snack food. It just says a mashup. So maybe it's not a cereal. It could be purchased on Cinnamon Toast Crunch's online store.
Are you sure it's not sold at dispensaries?
Right. It would make some sense.
Because I think I'd have to be at one to want to try this, because I'm out.
I mean, whether it's a cereal or not.
It's a cereal.
Is it a cereal?
I believe so. I'm looking at the...
Pizza Cinnamon
Yeah, it's Cinnamon
crunch
Toast
cereal.
Crunch Totina's Pizza yeah, flavored. Yeah, no, absolutely don't want anything to do with this.
All three of us. It's a rare three no's.
I mean, how does that sound appealing?
I don't know.
It sounds like you're ruining a pizza roll.
Yeah, well, let me be fair to this. Is it only sound like it's absolutely disgusting because we're pouring milk on it? Would this be if this is just like a snack, like a bag of Cheez-Its, but it's this?
Like Chex
that
Mix.
I would probably
like some
try.
Sort of like a Chex Mix kind of?
Well, I mean, the way it looks like it's just little square cereal pieces. So like a Cheez-It, if you will. But that's what I'm saying. If it were a snack pack... Like Cheez-It or pretzels, I would try this.
I feel like this is trying too hard. I'm out.
I agree. Yeah. Why make it into a cereal?
Next up, Sonic is bringing back the strawberry shortcake snowball slush float. This includes real strawberries, sweet shortcake flavored Sonic slush, and a snowball topping of creamy vanilla soft serve. Described in the story as, quote, from the icy texture of the slush to the snowball-inspired vanilla soft serve and crunchy sugar topping that's like ice crystals, this creation is everything our guests love about snow in a sweet, colorful, sippable format. Gator?
This might surprise you. It's not for me. I don't know if I like the combination idea of a slush and ice cream. Either like a slush or like ice cream. And if it's going to be like a milkshake, that's fine. But it adds slush its consistency to it. I'm not about that. The other thing is, I don't like strawberries. So,
well, you're like Tom Brady.
And Tommy and I are just like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like strawberries, so I'm not into that. So I'm out.
Kang?
What, they didn't want to add pizza rolls to this one? No? Just keeping it like this. So I'm actually anti-Tom Brady. I love strawberries. Sounds delicious. Sonic are they're known for their drinks and things like that, so I'm in.
Whenever I hear these dessert things, I always ask myself the exact same question. Does it sound better than a DQ Blizzard? And if it does not, there's no way I'm ever getting this. It doesn't. There's no way I'm ever getting this. Coors Light has come out with something interesting. It is a face roller using Coors Light cold cans. Beer brand announced it's making sure the Monday after the Super Bowl is relaxing, as it is literally chill, as possible with the Coors Light Chill Face Roller, one-of-a-kind face tool that combines the popular beauty trend of face rolling with the unmistakable chill of Coors Light. You insert a 12-ounce can of Coors Light into the chill roller and apply it directly to the face in a rolling motion. Gator, you're interested in the Coors Light Chill Roller?
This is a little strange. I don't know. I'm trying to see if I can get a picture of this.
Can't you just do that with your beer can right now?
You can yes, you can roll it, but this comes in like, it looks like a paint roller.
Yeah, it's like a lint roller.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a mini paint roll that instead of the roll, it's the can.
Yep.
So it just...
You roll it on your face.
Can you pop the top still?
Probably shouldn't.
No, probably not. I don't need this. Like Kang said, you can just hold it up to your face with your hand.
Understand that the brewery says it can offer multiple skincare benefits, including improved circulation, reduced puffiness, boosted mood, and stimulated collagen. Who amongst us can resist?
So women should
stimulating
do this.
Our collagen.
Saying?
I don't know, man.
If it improves their mood.
No. Kang, are you a yes or no?
Does it come with a spokesmodel? She's a... He's making it look all right.
She looks, yeah. Yeah. Hey, how are you?
You want to come chill?
She's also sitting on a floor in front of an open refrigerator, which is odd. But Kang, are you down? I think this is stupid.
Yeah, I don't need the handle. I can do this on my own.
Yeah, I'm out. And finally, M&M's is adding peanut butter ice cream sandwich to its lineup. 3.5-ounce frozen treat features two sugar cookies studded with M&M minis, hugging a slab of peanut butter flavored reduced fat ice cream. It'll be sold both as individually wrapped dessert or in a box of four. It debuts January 24th, which is National Peanut Butter Day. That's today.
That's today's National Peanut Butter Day.
Gator?
Yeah, I'd try this. I mean, I need to know how good it is. If it's not good, then so be it. But I'm going to try it. You had me at M&M's and peanut butter.
Yeah, this is just another, sounds like another great flavor ice cream, if you ask me. I'm in.
I think I could see this being better than a
M&M is
Blizzard.
A gateway for Doug. Yeah. M&M is a gateway for Doug. You start talking different concepts in M&M's because Doug likes the M&M. He likes to try the different kinds. He
pretzel,
loves the pretzel.
Peanut butter, almond ones. Yep. Yep. I might give this a shot. I might give this a shot this weekend.
No. Wow.
We'll see.
It's aggressive.
And there it is. That concludes another edition of Are You Going to Eat That? Lions have some decisions to make in free agents. Three categories. Must sign, bring back for the right price, and let them go. You'll get to that today at 12:50. Hey, there's nothing like the NFL playoffs. It's one big game after another. And you know what? Big games deserve bigger payouts. That's why FanDuel is giving all customers a same game parlay profit boost every game day during the NFL playoffs. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll score a bigger payday if your same game parlay hits. So don't just watch from the sidelines. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to get in on the action. That's FanDuel.com/Doug to get a same game parlay profit boost every game day during the NFL playoffs. FanDuel is an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in is required. Don't forget to do that. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and wager maximum wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, I sent one a ticket. Red Wings with a win last night, 4-2 over the Montreal Canadiens. They just opened up the floodgates and fired everything they could at the net. Worked, won 4-2, and good to see. Talked about that a little bit early on. Red Wing fans, you want to continue the conversation. NFC, AFC Championship game Sunday. We asked earlier, has anyone just decided I can't? I'm out. I don't care as much. And who do you want to win the whole thing now? 248-539-9797. Gator, we are just beginning the offseason earlier than we wanted. And, you know, it is what it is. It's what sports are. They're not movies. You don't get to script them. Nobody's guaranteed anything in one and done formats. There's no second chances. It was what it was. It was a massive disappointment, and on we go. Which means we launch into the offseason and a lot of offseason decisions to be made. There is a number of players that are free agents. These are all unrestricted free agents. And we've got three categories for these guys. We've got basically bring them back at all costs. Like, these are the guys that you decide, yeah, we'll spend the money for. Now, clearly if a player wants a 10-year contract worth $400 million, will pass, but you know what I'm saying. There are the players that we're going to pay for. The players that it depends on the money, and the players that are, you'd say, no way. I guess there's kind of a fourth category. I don't think they wanted to let Jonah Jackson go, but there are also players that you can potentially let walk to save money, right? To be able to afford other things. So I guess there's a fourth category there. And the reason I think of that is I wonder about this player, Kevin Zeitler.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kevin Zeitler a lot.
But
you can save money and just elevate Christian Mahogany.
Correct.
Which, younger player, beginning of his career, showed enough in practice.
I think you stay with the three categories. That's a guy, because I would agree with you on this, and I would say that he's a guy I let go, and then you can say why. Well, why? Because I can you know, elevate Mahogany for much cheaper, which allows me to re-sign blank.
So you let Zeitler go?
Yeah.
Okay. Kang, you bring back Zeitler, or you let him go?
I think because Glasgow signed the contract, they're going to keep Glasgow, let Zeitler go, move Glasgow back to the right side where he's more comfortable, and fill in Mahogany on the left side. So I think Zeitler becomes a kind of a numbers game casualty. Like, they don't have to bring him back. They would have Glasgow under contract.
The emergence of the kid, too,
yes,
allows for this flexibility. And then, look, it'd be great to have Zeitler back, but Christian Mahogany next year is scheduled to be a cap hit of $994,000, which in NFL terms is virtually nothing. Zeitler last year was a cap hit of 5.9. Is he going to get 5.9 on the open market at the age of 30? He'll be 35 before next season starts. He might not. But if you can save roughly $4 million, $3
million. I'll do it.
Yeah, I think I will too. Levi Onwuzurike.
I let him go. I'm counting. I mean, they have so many defensive linemen that they've had here over the last, you know, year or so, that I just think that I think his cost is probably going to be inflated for what his value is.
Well, what value does he have? And I'm not doubting you. I'm wondering.
I don't know. I've seen this before with players, where you look at them and you don't see much, but somebody else might see something. Oh, he's got such potential that is he going to get a deal that pays him? You know, does he sign a 2-year, $10 million deal somewhere else?
Yeah.
And it's not breaking the bank by any means, but I can pass on that because I don't think he's been productive enough and he has been healthy enough. And I could allocate that money to some other current unrestricted free agents on this Lions team that I'd rather see, because I think they were more productive for less money.
If they re-sign him, it will be pretty curious, because it will show once again that they have faith that doesn't necessarily feel warranted. Like, what is it about? If they bring him back, you have to question, okay, there's been so few plays made that their belief in the guy must be just through the roof. Right? I mean, it would have to be an unbelievable faith in a player that has always been hurt. This year he was one of the talks of the preseason. And you know, what justification would there be for anything other than nobody else signed him, nobody else offered anything, and you give him, you know, a minimum level contract? I mean, I feel like this player is just about as good as gone as one can be. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, if you go back with what Dan Campbell said before the season, they speak very highly of him. If you go back to what Brad Holmes said when he drafted him, I mean, you had to hold Brad Holmes back from trading up to get him.
Yeah.
So what they think of him, what we think of him, might be two different things, or we'll find out exactly what it is when they make their decision. But I don't see a need to bring him back.
He had a career best 1.5 sacks this year.
He played in 16 of the 17 games, so he was healthy.
I think they bring him back, guys. And I think they bring him back as a rotational guy. I think he was a little bit overhyped. Obviously, the production wasn't there from what I think you kind of expected from the way they were talking about him before the season started. But they were down so many D linemen this year. I think he's a guy they trust, they like. So when, you know, guys like Wingo, Pecco, where's Broderick Martin? You know, Lee McNeil got hurt. Like, you're going to need depth. I just think he's a depth guy, and you got to be wary of his your expectations for him. So I do think they bring him back. I wouldn't be hurt if they didn't bring him back.
Here's the thing. He led the Detroit Lions at the edge rusher position in snaps this year.
Well, that's why one of the reasons I think they bring him back, because he can play inside, outside. They love guys that can move around and play different roles on the team. He's just never going to
be that guy. We're kind of mixed. You bring him back, and I'm assuming it depends on the money.
Well, of course. I mean,
I want to work our way through this and see, because there's other guys along the defensive front that are free agents. Yep. You can only sign so many of them. But like Marcus Davenport, is there any chance that Marcus Davenport is back?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's just his career is – it's sad because he does have great potential. He looks the part. He's imposing. He's huge. But he can't stay healthy. He just can't.
I don't know what you do with a player like this.
I mean, unless you can sign him for league minimum. For a one-year deal, say, hey, you know, we like, but you can't stay healthy. We can't afford to commit $5 million to you if you're not going to stay healthy. You have to be on the field.
And yet you go, is that bad luck? Is he just a guy that's had bad luck? Or is that a guy who really there's something wrong about his physical makeup that he cannot stay healthy?
Well, that's a guy that, I don't mind bringing him back if it's for like a nothing contract and then you give incentives. Hey, if you have 7 sacks on the season, here's a bonus. If you play in, you know, more than 14 games, here's a bonus. But I don't know if being a veteran player like he is, you're probably just better off saying thank you, but no thank you, because he hasn't stayed healthy.
I don't bring him back, but he might get that Emmanuel Mosley treatment. Remember, like,
yeah,
Mosley did nothing, and they brought him back, and we're like, okay. Maybe Davenport gets the same one-year deal again, try. But personally, I just think whether it's luck or not, new injury, old injury, he just cannot stay healthy.
All right, there's some interesting names out there, and there's one that might be looking for a raise. Can they afford them? We'll get to that today at 103 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.